Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth. Today is Sunday, September 20th, 2020. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and even Podbean, the host site. If you like the show, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts. Give it a 5-star review. Let everybody know why you like it, because it makes me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. Not unlike the one where I was trying to get chicken wings at this exclusive Korean fried chicken place, and they got so busy that they did not answer their phone. They put their phone on busy, they hung up or something, and I had to go to McDonald's, and I shouldn't have made that decision. It was a delicious decision. I know I'm 40 years old, but sometimes you feel like eating like a sixth grader, and the McDonald's was good, but I shouldn't have done that. That was a decision that I should not have made, but I did anyway. And then I did get those wings on yesterday. Peck Peck Chicken in Teaneck, New Jersey. Fantastic Korean fried chicken. I'd kind of been sleep. I've slept on them. I've been there before. You know, it's great. But I was a Hooters guy because Hooters was literally right around the corner. And when you get Korean fried chicken, it takes about 25 minutes to make, because it's all made to order, and it's fantastic. So Peck Peck Chicken, Teaneck, New Jersey, do it, call ahead. I guess maybe they were at a high volume time, but I went to McDonald's and I probably shouldn't have, but I haven't done McDonald's that much this year, I would say. I don't know. That's an addiction that I have yet to kick. I've been off of it for a while. Like, I don't do it all, but you can't do McDonald's all the time. Fuddruckers was in danger of closing, because I guess the company that owns it is possibly folding, I think. But the two locations in New Jersey are not closing, because I saw something came up on my phone. I guess my phone. Hey, fat boy, the place that you like is closing possibly. And then Fuddruckers put out an email saying that we're not going anywhere. We're not fucking going anywhere. You get your fat ass in here and get a burger. But I don't know. So the thing about Fuddruckers is you have your own fixings. You get to put your fixings on stuff. And I don't know about that open air stuff. You know, your veggies and your pickles and onions and all that stuff, you know, being out like that and people picking over them. All of the grocery stores that I go to, when they have their bar, like their wing bar, their open bar, like food bar, like all that stuff's closed, like Wegmans, Stop and Shop, ShopRite. So I don't know. That's the only thing I would be apprehensive about. They have takeout at Fuddruckers, but I don't know. I don't know how that works. So I'm not, you know, eventually I will go to Fuddruckers, but that's an hour commitment for me, because the closest Fuddruckers is a half an hour away. And I've done it before, but I've always paired it with going to a movie or something after, you know, or if I'm coming from work, I go to the movies, then I go to Fuddruckers. But obviously we can't do that. I can't do that. I don't feel safe and comfortable doing that shit. So, this is episode 451. There's no guest. It's just me. You just got me in my apartment after a nice breakfast, really good, Sunday omelet, day. I made a 3-egg omelet. I had some leftover brisket from Stu Leonard's, and I chopped it up pretty fine. I chopped it up finely. How was it? Fine or finely? I don't know. I chopped up some of the leftover brisket that I had from Stu Leonard's, and I put some spinach in it. I had some green peppers, red onions, and some nice Tillamook shredded Mexican cheese. And it was fantastic. And I'm pretty much set for the day. And I'm here doing some podcasting. I got some movie reviews, some TV recommendations, and some music. So I'm excited to talk about that with you guys. This past week, RIP to Ruth Bader Ginsburg. It's not her fault that we're in the situation that we're in. You can't let the fate of the country rest on an 87-year-old woman, whether or not she can stay alive to do her job in the Supreme Court. That diminishes the accomplishments and the progressions that she made as somebody of her stature in the job that she had. Yes, I know what she said about Kaepernick. I disagree about with what she said, but she's an inspiration to a lot of women, and a lot of people are hurt by her death. But she lived a long life, and she was successful. And somebody like her and John Lewis, it is not their fault that they died when they did under this regime that we have now. So, you know, a lot of people, myself included, were telling you to vote for the lady in the pantsuit, and things would have been a lot better. It wouldn't have been perfect. It would not have been a utopia, but we'd be in a better situation than we're in now, because you take just to the fact that the pantsuit lady was more equipped to do the job. She was a student of politics, and she spent years of her life. She dedicated her whole life to being a politician and doing what she knew the job better than the guy that we have in office. And that is beyond the shadow of a doubt. And a lot of people have told you this. A lot of my colleagues have said it till we were blue in the face. And I feel like every time I talk about stuff like this, I like to think that this show caters to, you know, I don't know, rational people, decent people that know right from wrong. And, you know, I don't know who listens, because you don't email the fucking show. You don't email mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. So I don't know, but I'd like to think that you do. I like to think that you know that we're in some kind of a line. We may not agree on everything, but I think we can agree on this, that the pantsuit lady was the best person for the job 4 years ago, and you wouldn't have people crying and performing on social media. People that have probably voted for the guy that we have in office, but are performing for likes and retweets. At the time of her death and of RBG's death, and trying to act like the world is ending, and they went in the booth in 2016 and voted differently from what they're talking about on social media, and for the stuff that they're marching about when that guy had his inauguration. So I don't know what else to say. I mean, I can say, you know, vote for change. And that would be the person in the Democratic Party, Joe Biden. We know, everybody's been alive, knows anybody that knows government and knows American government knows that this is a two-party system, and a vote for somebody outside of the Democratic Party is not going to help anything. It's not. And starting to care about people other than yourself and the betterment, you know, maybe the change that we try to make in less than 50 days, maybe that doesn't, I think it'll benefit my generation, but it'll help benefit the generation others that are left behind when we die, you know. Try to think about that shit, but it doesn't seem that people do. And I'm not the most eloquent speaker on things like this, but I know what I know. I know what history has taught, you know? I'm a student of history a little bit. I wouldn't say that I'm a scholar, but I know a little bit. And I know we can't keep going the way that we're going. So we have the opportunity to make change. So it's really up to us and to figure out how you're going to vote, whether you're going to go to the actual polls or whether you're going to do absentee balloting or, you know, early voting. Shout out to Mike B. He voted early. I saw him post on Instagram. He voted and he took his son with him. That's what my parents did when I was a kid. So it was a duty. It's not because you like the person. You agree with everything that this person, you know, you might agree with most of their stances, but then it's not always going to be perfect. So it's not, you know, I don't know, man. Hey, vote for Joe Biden. You know, and I think things will be a lot better than they are, or we can start to move past what we've been going through for the past few years. You know, Obama tried to tell you, Michelle told you at the DNC. Obama said it before he left office. So take that information how you take it. Don't listen to these these black celebrities that try to tell you to hold your vote. That's fucking ignorant. Some of them are great entertainers. Some of them, I was listening to Killer Mike on this record with Black Thought. And I think, yeah, it's called Good Morning or something. You're like, God damn, he can rap his ass off. I don't agree with how he's handling some of the things he's handling, but the motherfucker can rap. Chris Rock says some out of pocket shit. Chris Rock, one of the greatest comedians of all time. One of the best to ever do it. One of the reasons why I'm spewing when I'm spewing on the internet right now. One of the reasons why I do stand up. I think he's off. He doesn't know. He's got people around him. He's got people around, like the smartest people in the world, some of the smartest people in the world around. But what he says, it's like, I don't know, dude. Why would you say that? I don't know. But for a lot of, they're not living, a lot of these black celebrities, they're black. It's cool. It's dope that they're making all these achievements, paving the way, inspiring all these people to want to do what they do. But life for them isn't going to be, it may be kind of the same for them if we go on the way that we're going. Wealth is not always going to give you power, but it gives you comfort. And you may not have to deal with they're not dealing with some of the things that you are dealing with as a plebeian, as just a regular person moving through life. Because the things that shit affects us more than it will for our wealthy celebrities. And some of them, you know, they could be conservative too. You don't know. But I don't like this 11th hour bullshit from these black male celebrities. You know, I don't hear black women, female celebrities, black female celebrities telling you, oh, I think I should hold my vote. You know why? Because they're probably fucking voting. You know, say what you will about LeBron James. And there's another thing I saw. He had this. Okay, I'm a LeBron James. What did I say a couple of weeks ago? Like I was a LeBron apologist or whatever. He had this leadership shirt on or some cap or some Lakers leadership shorts. Somebody tweeted about that and was trying to make a big deal out of it. He's a leader. Say what you will about LeBron. He stood behind Hillary. He stood behind the lady in the pantsuit. He's trying to make change. He is a black male celebrity trying to do better, trying to do it. Like I said, it may not look how you want it to look, but it looks pretty good to me. And he may not do it the way that he that you want him to do it, but it's pretty good. He's a leader, and he's embracing that ever since he was a kid. Put that spotlight on him. He's trying to do something with it, and so it goes. I hope they win the fucking championship and shut people up for at least the rest of the year until they find some other way to critique him and to not make him as decent and great a player as who he is. They've spent all this time trying to get him out of the paint. He's at year 17. They give Giannis the MVP 2 years in a row. Yeah, he had a great regular season, but he's at home right now. He's not in the bubble. He's not competing for the finals. We just need to let this shit play out. And like I said with Obama, when LeBron's gone, you're going to miss him. You're going to miss him. You're going to miss him. That's all I'm going to say about that. Go Lakers. I hope they win. ESPN on mute last night. I did not watch the Miami Heat Boston game. I think I don't know. Maybe you can't get a sweep. Sometimes you lose like that. They're two good teams. I don't know. I was playing video games. Speaking of video games, PlayStation 5. You had the PS5 showcase this past Wednesday. It was cool. I was excited about it. Then right after, they basically put the PS5 on pre-order. And it kind of came out of the blue. Websites were crashing. Best Buy crashed. Target crashed. No, I don't think Target crashed. Best Buy did crash. I think at Best Buy, you'd have it in your cart and then it was still, it would kick you off. And so I didn't get to pre-order. I think I almost pulled the trigger at Target, but I was kind of scared. I was like, should I be doing this? I need more work on my car. I spent a lot of money on my car this year. And I was like, you know, I can wait. Like, I'm excited about it. The 10-year-old in me wants to get the PS5 and wants to have it on release date. But I could wait. And the only game right now that I would be excited about is Spider-Man, Miles Morales, and it's an offshoot of the PS4 game from 2018 that's fucking fantastic, but you get to play as Miles Morales, you get to use his powers. So that is the only thing that I'm really excited about. Maybe the next gen NBA and next gen 2K21 and Madden 21. I hope those bugs will be fixed by the time Madden comes out for PS5. And that night when I was kind of bummed out that I missed out on the pre-order, I looked at when the PS4 came out, and it was in 2013, like November holiday season 2013. And I didn't get mine until February of 2015. So that's a little over a year and change that I waited, you know, and I think maybe that was just me being immersed in comedy and just like living the life, whatever I was doing. It was mainly comedy and TPS reports and auditioning, comedy day job auditioning. And yeah, it was mainly doing shows. And I didn't really start hardcore maybe like 2015, 2016. Yeah, anyway. So I can wait, man. Then I found out today that Miles Morales is coming out for PS4. And I'm not sure if that's 100% true. I have to research that. Shit, I can do it now. I mean, like, you know what, you guys got time? You guys got time for me to Miles Morales PS4, is it going to be on PS4? PS4. Let's see. Only PS5. I don't see it for PS5. I don't know. I'll have to look into that. But either way, I'll get to it eventually. And another thing that came up, I didn't really pay too much. I guess I did, but I didn't know this, that it's a running joke on Twitter, at least, that dudes want women. They want women to buy the new systems for them. And I didn't know that was a thing, but I guess one of my homies was telling me that, yeah, he's had women buy all of his systems. And I was like, I've been doing it wrong. I've been buying them on my own. Ever since I was 16, I bought all of my systems, except for the PS2. Because so my dad, when I became an RA my senior year of college, and my parents didn't have to pay room and board. So my dad, I said, "Ooh, if I become an RA, can you give me a PlayStation 2?" And he did. So that was great for my dad. And dad's always, he's the best. And so with the exception of that, I think that's been it. Like, but adulthood, definitely, I bought all my shit. But that's the thing, and it's funny to me, like, all these memes about, like, I saw a meme said, like, is a picture of a scene, of a porno scene about to start, and it... I think it's Isaiah Maxwell and some like hot blonde MILF, and it said PS5 secured. It's so hilarious to me. And I think maybe it's a running joke, but I think people actually do this. You know, they actually do it. It's $500. I was right about the cost. I knew that the disc, the digital version would probably be $400, and the one with the disc drive would be $500. So that's reasonable. I'm glad that people are paying like $1,000 for phones. I paid $1,000 for my phone, I think. And I think I might have got something knocked off of this most recent phone that I have. But yeah, I'm excited to get a hold of one eventually and to play it, but it's so amazing. Like, you know, I just bought this PS4 Pro. That was like $300. I bought that, and this, you know, the generation's almost done. And, you know, looking at I was telling my buddy, that's like looking at the Last of Us Part 2. Granted, I'm a stan, but like, that shit looks amazing. And it's the best. It's like one of the best. And you know, like, I don't think the animation on I think Ghost of Tsushima is great, but those animations aren't that amazing. They're good, but I don't know that they're like God of War level. God of War is like 2 years ago. God of War looks great. I got that. I just started playing that again, and I'm to the point where I'm an hour or two past what I stopped at, like maybe in 2018 or 2019, something like that. So I'm in it. I'm like locked into the game now. I'm enjoying it. I don't know if it's better than The Last of Us Part 1. I just think, and yes, this father-son relationship is great, and I'm enjoying how you can use Atreus as your sidekick, and you know the way he attacks and everything. But I don't think you get that a game like this without Tilu 1, because the relationship between Joel and Ellie, I think, changed the way that NPCs worked. You know, like, and granted, Atreus is an upgrade from 2013 to 2018. Like, there's definitely an enhancement. You know, you look at how, because Ellie, you couldn't control. you couldn't control tests, but you know, yeah, they would help you out and stuff, but you know, even still, like Atreus, it's amazing. And then even in Tilu 2, you still don't, your NPCs that are on your side don't help as much as Atreus, I don't think. I mean, you could think about like Lev as a character. I got to get somebody on here that I maybe try to get somebody on here to talk about that. But God of War is a fantastic game. I'm like maybe, I think I'm halfway through the story. Yeah, and I like these trophies popping now, man. It, God of War, it's so, I fought this dragon last night and I was like, oh my God. It was awesome. It was really cool. It's pretty cool. Like the scale of that game, you fight this huge ass dragon in like three different, like maybe two to three sections of it. Like two sections of like a boss battle. That's kind of cool. So that's really fun. And I'm getting immersed in it. Like I think I'm the type of person that can only play one game at a time. Because I feel like if I were to play anything else other than a sports game, I would just be kind of losing focus. So I'm going to hopefully beat that in another month or so. I'm trying to just play on the weekends. And I haven't played too much during the week anyway. When I was trying to platinum The Last of Us Part Two, like I definitely played during the week, but I'm trying to just kind of hold it for the weekends, but I may, you know, play. Who gives a shit? We're in, you know, the world might be over in November. So I'm enjoying God of War, and you nerds were right about it. I always give credit to where credit's due. You nerds were right. What else? I got tempted again. I didn't get tempted again with the movies. I just felt nostalgic. On Sunday last week, I went to get a burrito. I think I was, what was I doing to be going out as late as I went out? I don't remember what I was doing. Anyway, I went to this burrito spot, Tito's Burritos, and I like it, but I think I might even like the trip going to that spot more than I actually like the burritos. I like the drive through Ridgewood, New Jersey, because it's just so like, and it was late, and it was just, that wasn't late, it was like 7 o'clock, and it was just dark, and I kind of like, God, I just like that town. I like that town. I like their little downtown area, their shops and stuff. And so I got my parking spot and I got out and I saw this old school movie theater. And I took a picture of it. I think I put it on Twitter, cause I didn't put it on Instagram, but, it was pretty cool. And that would have been perfect. It would have been the perfect time to go to the theater. I think it's called the Warren Theater. And I just tweeted something like, "Oh, I'm feeling like Lou Williams. This is my magic city." And they had Broken Hearts Gallery playing, teen rom-com, Tenet, The New Mutants, and Bill and Ted. And I like that. Like I used to go to one. There's quite a few theaters like that. I don't know. I'm not sure if they're Bowtie cinemas now, but it's really cool to go into those. Like obviously, you know, I'm an AMC guy. I'm a Stubbs member and all that stuff. But I like the vibe of that place, man. Places like that, and the popcorn's better. If I'm not the biggest popcorn guy, but normally my movie snack is the peanut M&Ms and a Smart Water. But every now and then I crave popcorn, and I really only get it when I'm at a Bowtie Cinema. You know, that's, and I just like that. I just felt really nostalgic seeing that that movie theater, because a couple of times when I had gone to the place, you know, during the pandemic, you know, it was closed, and they said, you know, state legislator has us closed. We'll be back as soon as we can. And lo and behold, it was open, because movies open, movie theaters open like late August, early September. And yeah, still a bummer. God, am I fighting the itis during this podcast? Oh my God. I did have a nice, a really nice breakfast, ladies. So that was cool. Oh God, I had my notes open, and then when I went to find that picture, all right. Ridgewood has some nice little restaurants and stuff like that. And burritos, you know, I got to try a new burrito the next time I go to Tito's, because they're good. Chips are good. The guac is good. I think they make the guac in-house. And there's a chain. It's like five of them in New Jersey, in the area, in like different areas of Jersey. Tito's burritos, peck, Tito's burritos in Ridgewood, New Jersey, peck chicken, T-neck. You really can't go wrong. But yeah, people get pissed off about peck because I was trying to get it on a Friday, and it was like, it was maybe 4 o'clock when I called it in, and they just didn't like answer. And I was like, oh, I was sick, dude. Cause I was thinking about those wings. They're so good. Crunchy, really good. Moist. Cause there's another place, Bonchon, which is, I believe that's more of a national chain of Korean fried chicken. They just opened up one in the strip mall near me. And there's one further north of where I live. And I'd never been to that one. I'd never been to a Bonchon. And it's good, but it's like, it's not the same. It ain't the same. But it's good, but it's just not the same, young. Peck is the best going right now. And I've been trying to support local businesses now more than ever. So I'm trying to do that. What else? TV stuff. Tatiana Maslany. She's She-Hulk. That's going to be really good. And that's going to make me want Disney Plus again. Cause I don't know, man, the Mandalorian, that can't be the only thing that I'm watching it for. I'm sure there's stuff on Disney, but you know, with the pandemic and the way filming is going, I'm sure all these shows that they were promoting, you know, they probably got delayed. So I'm sure they'll have more stuff on there that'll be interesting. I was talking about cord cutting. I feel like I've been talking about cord cutting for 7 years, but on the Patreon episode, I did a Patreon ep with Jeff Cerulli, my, what do I call him? My unofficial, official co-host of Indie Movie Corner. I don't know, man. It's like, I feel like I'm going to be losing all these local channels, and which really is just like the news and some of these other games. I don't know. I had to figure something out. I like having HBO. I like having Showtime. I like having Stars. Anytime you think about getting rid of one of those premium cable channels, they're like, this new show with this actor that you like and this actress that you think is hot, they're doing something together, so you better fucking keep this channel, Chris. You know, So it's like hard to give that up. But yeah, I'm super. Tatiana Maslany can act her ass off. She's Orphan Black. If you've never heard of her, you know, if you've never seen Orphan Black, I mean, that's a tour de force of acting. She had this role in this Nicole Kidman movie called Destroyer, and I didn't know it was her. I didn't know it was her until like half the way through. I was like, oh my God, is that Tatiana? Yo, she is like, she's a beast, and she's very lovely. And I bumped into her at a movie in New York once. They were doing some Orphan Black promotion and almost knocked her over. She's tiny, but I didn't like, cause I saw one of the actresses that was on, I was like, oh, they're doing like an Orphan Black thing. And I almost like, she was coming down the steps and I was coming up. I was like, oh, excuse, you know, she's a very beautiful woman. And there's this movie called Pink Wall that I only rented it because she was in it. She's the lead in it. And, it's good. Like, she's good. And it's just like, it's almost, I don't know how much maybe I just didn't care for the characters in the movie. Came out last year, and it's her partner, wrote it, and she did the movie with Jay Duplass. And it's a wild movie, but it's actually, I fuck with it. It's, you know what? I liked it, but I just don't want to size it. I would just say that I really love the production value of it. I love the acting. I just didn't care for what the characters did. Like they weren't that likable, but it's still a good movie. It's some really, like, she can fucking act her ass off. I might need to buy this one because I really did like the whole, as a whole, I fucked with it. It's like $8.99 on Google Play. She's fantastic. And I know that she's going to bring a lot of depth to this incredible She-Hulk movie show. So that's going to be good. I'm excited about that because shout out to Keith. I think he hit me up on Twitter and posted. I was like, oh, I guess I got to get Disney Plus then. Shit, you know. Another expense. Speaking of TV, let's just get into some TV stuff. I religiously watch Power Book 2 when I wake up on Sunday on Stars. I'm locked into it, man. It's got the crime drama. It's got the soapy aspects to it. Characters being shitty, doing shitty things. And Mary J. Blige I'm starting to really fuck with her heavy with her acting, man. Like, it's like, it's kind of like, you're a celebrity, whatever, you know, you're a great musician and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you're in this movie, you're in this show, whatever. She's good. She's very, like, you can see her. There's a scene that I'm not going to spoil anything, but there's a scene that she has where she's being propositioned to do business with somebody. And you could, she's like, I don't want, like, the characters, she's just like, I don't know about this shit. And then you could just see her processing what the other character is saying to her. And she's really considering what lies ahead. If she does it, what happens if she doesn't do it? You could just read that on her. And that's a good thing. Like, she's just really like in it and in the moment. So I'm really, really just kind of sold on Mary J. Blige as an actor. I know she got nominated for Mudbound, but Mudbound was it's not nothing to do with her, but it's just like she kind of had that surprise nomination where it's like, really? Okay. But this one, Power, like, you know, I was just like, oh yeah, I'm sold on her. I like it. I like it, Mary. I like what you're doing there, Mary J. So yeah, like that, that show, it just sometimes it just doesn't seem like it's long enough. You know, it's a lot of fun to watch, and I'm glad that it's back on. Corporate, the Comedy Central show about corporate America, ended a couple of weeks ago. They only did 3 seasons. This 3rd season was shortened. I don't know, man. Comedy Central, like, they greenlight some of these really fantastic, solid, lived-in show that are just, like, really interesting characters and quirky, all this shit. And it doesn't stay. It just doesn't fucking stick. I don't know what it is. Like, they greenlight these really good shows that are scripted. I guess just, I don't know. Is it not a market for these shows? If it was on another network, would it be better? Would more people be watching like that? Like, I think about recently, you know, they went longer than Detroiters, obviously, but I mean, what, like 6 episodes longer? But I thought Detroiters was good. I thought this Rory Scovel show that he had, that was a scripted show, that was really good. I enjoyed that. Yeah, like they've had quite a few shows that I can't name. That's just me going off the dome, but yeah, like I don't know what it is why they can't stay longer. Workaholics, I did like when I was watching. I just kind of, I don't know, that I guess the scheduling of how they released those episodes, I just didn't stick with it. But some you just don't remember, but I remember, you know, laughing and enjoying it, you know, enjoying that show, you know. And those comedies are actually, you know, really funny. They just don't stay on long enough. But I don't know. Pen 15, I watched over the weekend. I watched yesterday. I binged it. It's only 7 episodes, a little more than half an hour each episode. I'll give you a refresher. It's on Hulu. I'll read you this blurb here. The comedy series depicts middle school as it really happened. Comics Maya Erskine and Anna Conkle play versions of themselves as teenage outcasts in the year 2000, during a time when the best day of your life can turn into the worst with the stroke of a gel pen. Adult Maya and Anna, as their younger selves, are surrounded by actual teenagers as they re-experience some of the ups and downs of middle school life. They get a lot of unexpected attention on the first day of school and later face the temptation to do drugs. So this premiered in 2019, at the top of 2019, February 2019, and it made me fall in love with Maya Erskine. It's weird to say that because she's 33, and she's playing her teenage self. But I did see her in this movie. Oh, shit. What movie is it? So I can cover myself before I get canceled. Plus One is the movie that she did where she was in a rom-com. And I was like, oh, she's a fucking star. Like, so that came out around the same time that Pen 15 came out. And I was like, why isn't she working enough? She's not working enough. Even though she is. But, you know, she's doing well. But I was like, she needs to be in more shit. And I do like Anna Conkle too, but I think she just really just inhabits this character of her younger self. And it's fascinating. It's weird. It can be weird and off-putting at times to a certain degree, but just once you just kind of give yourself the suspension of disbelief, if you let that wash over you, it's kind of funny. It's funny. It's actually funny and sweet and heartwarming at the same time. They went deep this season. I thought I thought the first season was funny, and they dealt with some, you know, grounded themes and everything like that. But overall, like, I just think they just deepened it. And I think one of the things that was helpful, just the way that the writing was, where it's just like, okay, season one ended at a certain point and you just really just continued. It ended at a school dance and it continued to be like a week or two after the dance. So it was just a continuation of the year, And it's still like season one and season two is the same year, same school year. Really good. It was like dark in some moments and really sweet and just really grounded. And you really feel for these girls. And they don't do anything freaky. Like when they have to, the writing was in. Let's see. I'm trying to think. So I don't know my neighbors. I don't know if it's my upstairs neighbors or downstairs neighbors playing their music loud. My downstairs neighbors will play music loud for an hour. It's so weird. You don't know what's going on there. I feel like an asshole because I'm walking, you know, when I get up early. And I know we're talking about 10:15. I'm going to get back to that. But it's like, I don't know if you guys could hear that. But it's like sometimes like they'll have a baby. I can hear a baby crying. And then the next day it's like music is like loud as fuck. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Yeah, there's kids downstairs. I don't know, whatever. So Pen 15. It's very so like I said, let the suspension of disbelief wash over you. The acting's really good. The writing is done in such a way where they're not making out with these kids. There's one scene in season one where Anna Conkle's character kisses another kid, but you could tell it's an actual grown an adult that she kisses, like the way that they cut and stuff like that. So they're not doing anything creepy, and it works. Culturally, it works better that these are women playing girls as opposed to a guy playing a boy and he's attracted to a girl. So obviously the dynamics are changed, and it's not as it just doesn't read creepy anyway. But the acting's really good. I really liked what Maya Erskine and Anna Conkle are doing with their characters on this show. I think you could, shit, man, you could almost, Maya Erskine deserves an Emmy. She's good, man. And her mother is her actual mother. There's some funny moments with her, excuse me, her and her mom. And there's some really serious moments with both of their mothers. The stuff that they're tackling, man, it's good. I highly recommend this show. It's probably one of the best comedies that you can watch right now, and it gets serious. It's like you kind of blur the lines in shows like this, but it's definitely billed as a comedy. But I highly recommend it. I think it's worth your time. It's only, if you haven't seen it, start at season one, and you'll just, I don't want to size it like it's Cobra Kai. It's like the phenomenon that Cobra Kai is, but I do remember last year people kind of going in on this one that they really enjoyed it. And I was like, Pen 15, like, what's that? I was like, oh shit. And you know, and I ended up enjoying it. And I feel like I did talk about this last year. So, okay. I think that's all the TV. So let's do some music. Music. I listened to a couple new albums this week. I listened to the new Alicia Keys album. It's called Alicia, and it's like, it's Alicia Keys. It's like, it's good. It's good. Like I like Alicia Keys. She's very, very much so on her it's a socially socially. It's an SJW album, bro. My podcast is going right wing. I'm trying to appeal to right wing listeners now. It's very SJW, man. I don't know about this one. But, like, she can sing. She's got some good shit on there. She's got this record with Jill Scott that just kind of sounds like it's a Jill Scott song. It's kind of, the placement's kind of like, huh, okay. All right. I don't know. Maybe she's just like, I want to do something with Jill Scott. She's famous enough to do that if she wants. She's just like, oh, I want Jill Scott on here. And it's like, Jill Scott, you know, it's interesting. I always like Alicia Keys. I need to revisit her. I feel like I feel the same way that I do with her and Brandy. and Monica, where it's like these women, these artists are super duper talented. They're incredible. You know, I think I need to tell you my Alicia Keys story. I was obsessed with Alicia Keys when she came out. She came out like, when did her first album come out? Was it 2000, 2001? Songs in A Minor, 2001, yeah. In love with her. Just like, I think I broke up with Katie Holmes in my brain, and then it was like Alicia Keys. I still watch Dawson's Creek, but I don't know. When she first came out, I was in love with her. My dad, for my college graduation present, my dad and I went to Atlantic City. I've probably told this story before. We went to the Trump Taj Mahal. Sorry, guys. I didn't know. I was 21. I didn't know. I thought he was just a businessman. And me and him went out there and to see her play that venue. And it was like my first, probably one of my, I think that might have been, like, I had seen Usher. I saw two big concerts, Usher, Nas, and Faith that year. I talked about Usher about a couple weeks ago, I believe. And back then it was the Nissan Pavilion at Stone Ridge. And then Alicia Keys, like, this probably like after seeing Prince when I was 16, that was my cousin / godmother took me and my cousins to see that. But one that I was like, I want to see this person and can you get me tickets, mom and dad? And so we went to that and we stayed, we didn't stay at the Trump Hotel. We stayed at like, I think we stayed at a Holiday Inn somewhere outside of town, like outside of AC, because it was cheaper. And me and my dad, like, we went to the boardwalk down there. We played like putt-putt. We ate at the Hard Rock Cafe. I got to talk to him about that. And I remember my dad didn't get a ticket. So I've said this shit 100 times before. I don't give a fuck. And it was just a great memory that I have of me and my dad. They thought he was a undercover cop. So he kind of stood outside of he was in the venue, but not he was in there, but not. So he got to see the whole show, but he didn't get a seat. And I remember sitting up there, and this is kind of when I realized, because I don't know, back then, you know, I was a theater kid, and I was a performer and stuff. So I didn't realize how people that's when I started to realize that people didn't really give a shit about like this. There's like, didn't seem like there was any etiquette, because people were like milling about while Alicia Keys is on stage singing her ass off. I'm like, I don't get it. And I do remember seeing Rodney Jerkins, I think, who produced a lot of Brandy's music. And I remember seeing him walk around. And I remember seeing like people just like kind of milling about. And I'm not saying, you know, it was just odd to me. I remember telling a story about this guy, the singer, songwriter, Sanders Bulky, who I found out because he opened for Rachel Yamagata a few years back, like maybe 7 or 8 years ago, here in New York City at the Bowery. He's singing his, I was like, this guy's fucking great. Somebody answers their phone in the middle of him singing his ass off. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing, man? You know, so I think that was my first time. Like, what are these people just like milling about while at least the talent is on stage, like killing it? And it's like people care, but then they kind of don't give a shit. You know, but that was an awesome night. And I remember me and my dad going to Dairy Queen after. It was fucking fun. So Alicia Keys will always have a soft spot in my heart. But I just got to go back to her other shit. But like, because I haven't heard Here. I just know Girl on Fire because of the lead single element of, I think I just kind of lost. And not necessarily, losing interest is just kind of like not that. That's not fair, I don't think. I remember like The Diary of Alicia Keys was the last time I was kind of like, oh, it's like Alicia Keys, like she's always good. She's pretty, she's talented, and she's a good singer. Actually, like it was like under like grad school, it was just like the laser focus on fucking acting and shit and working and all the bullshit that I was dealing with back then, and just really not like locking into her shit, but just like, and then I was just kind of being, and then a lot of that was kind of pop. A lot of those people, like she became like a uber star. And I think maybe I just kind of, I don't know. I just kind of like, okay, these people are awesome, but it's just like, I was just kind of digging into other genres of music and then like even more like indie hip hop stuff, I guess. I don't know. I just kind of lost track. I think I would, instead of losing interest, I'll say I lost track of what she was doing. And because it's not fair to say, oh, fuck that person, because they're not, you know. So I got to get back into more of her stuff. I noticed like when you get those like torchy, those songs that are like about helping people, when the, anytime an artist has music that's like, whoa, like that kind of stuff, like that kind of vibe, like they're really trying to help people. That's when you kind of get, she had at least two records like that, I think. And I was like, oh, they're trying to do this thing now. And then they're doing a thing like, I think Alessia Cara is kind of has a mastery of, where she's somebody that like is like, I need to get into more her shit, because I like her. Like, she's a great singer and she's young, and it's like, I want to see what she's doing. So I need to, the last like 10 years has just been like, man, I've just been listening to these podcasts. I'm becoming a fucking, that's just a washed version. That's a washed person's version of public radio. Like all podcasting is just like talk radio, especially when you're talking to somebody else, especially like, you know, like a chat show. So it is what it is, but I still love Alicia Keys. I remember just being like, she was on Desus and Mero like a couple months ago, and I was like, oh my God, I was just like mesmerized by her whole like vibe, you know? And so I liked her. Like Alicia Keys, check out her new album, Alicia. And I need to get back into her old shit. This other singer, Kelly Lee Owens, this is her second album. She's got an album out called Inner Song. I knew nothing about this woman. I was scrolling through Twitter, and I saw like it happened to be on Pitchfork. And I know people have a love-hate relationship or a hate-hate relationship with Pitchfork, but I still follow them, because sometimes you can get put on to somebody that you've never heard of, and you can like say, oh, I'll check this out. And now that I have Tidal, that I've been rocking with Tidal for the past few years, like I have a service that I can just, oh, I can just point and click to this person and, see what's up. And so I just happened to read her review, and I was like, oh, let me just check her out. Let me see. I really dug her. I really dig her her album cover. I hope you guys can't hear that, but I can hear that. This is people that are just loud as shit. And she's basically an electronic musician and producer. I was thinking about this while listening to her album. It makes me miss stand up a lot more, because her music, at least the records that I listened to, this album just kind of made me miss like driving home after a show when I'm not listening to the podcast, like listening to that electronic music. Like, it's definitely a vibe. Like, it's definitely, she's putting out there, like, she's putting out a vibe, and I rock with it. It's cool. I actually watched a live performance she did on KEXP on YouTube. And KEXP is like an indie rock radio station in Seattle, and people like Little Dragon have been on there, Toro y Moi have been on there, St. Vincent's been on a few times, and it's definitely like their version of Tiny Desk to a certain degree. But I don't know if it's as stripped down as Tiny Desk, but in America we like to label things, and I would say it's their version of that, and it's equally good, especially if you like the artist. So it kind of reminded me, and then at the same time made me miss stand up, made me miss going to concerts. Like, I remember going to see this artist, Jesse Boykins III, who was an R&B artist, and he had this guy named Machine Drum open for him. And Machine Drum is basically doing a similar thing that Kelly Lee Owens is doing, putting beats, doing the beats on stage and electronic type stuff. And electronic type stuff. It's good. Like, because I was thinking, like, man, you go see one of these people in concert, what's that going to be like? And it's them, like, kind of almost like creating in front of you. It's like their music. It's like, obviously, maybe a record that they had that they've, put out there, but it's almost like they're recreating it for you again when you go see them live, like, kind of put it together and stuff. I've been to shows like that before. There's this guy, and Kelly Lee Owens sings also. She's good. I need to get into more of her stuff, but you definitely have to like be in a certain mood, obviously, to listen to any music, but it's just kind of like, she's definitely it. Her shit just reminds me, what her shit reminds me of? Kind of like, not as soulful as Anna Wise, but some of the early stuff that Sunny Moon was doing. So Anna Wise and Dane Orr, it kind of reminded me of like a new age version of Groove Theory. And he did, like, Dane Orr did all the beats. Anna Wise would do the singing. Anna Wise is a lot more eclectic and, like, vocally, stronger vocally than I believe. Fuck, now I'm comparing women. And she's just a strong singer. She's doing a lot of crazy shit. So it's good. It reminds me of that. So it means that she's good. And I do like what I've heard so far. I like it enough to go back to her old shit, like the stuff that I think that her older, I want to see that her album that she did prior to Inner Song is higher than the new one. So they Pitchfork liked her, because sometimes when you go with like Pitchfork, like, you can, I just kind of have him around, and that needle drop guy, somebody said on Twitter that he was racist, and I was like, oh shit, so he was like an alt-right guy. Fuck, man, let me stop that. I'm gonna have to edit that. I might have to edit that out. Because sometimes people will say, like, you could like something, you could just listen to something off the strength and you pick it up. You're like, oh, what are other people saying about them? Or have they done a live performance or something? And you go and you're like, oh shit, this is fucking great. And then you read their review and like six. And I'm like, what? Because Pitchfork shitted on Donald Glover. And I was like, nah, it ain't that. You may not like the shit, but you don't need to rank it that low. So they gave this album Inner Song 7.7. And what did they give her first one? It's somewhere. Her first one is self-titled. They gave it an 8. So they gave her first one an 8. So she's a Welsh singer and producer. She's from Wales, from the UK. So that electronic shit to me, like, I definitely have to be in the mood to listen to it. And a lot, I found myself really vibing out to it at night, late at night, driving home from a show, especially like New York City. I remember when I first started listening to Sunny Moon, like in 2012 or 2013, and just really like, they had this version of cover of Houston, Atlanta, Vegas that was dope. And I remember like just playing that shit on repeat. Anna Wise just had, you know what? I ain't even gonna say her voice is stronger. She has more of an R&B tone, and I think it's more accessible to me with my black listening ears. As Chris Rock said, and I think I love my wife, nigger ears. It's just more, it's more accessible at, like, off the rip. It's more accessible. How about that? I like that. And she had this record called Asleep with this guy named Anthony Valadez. And I was like, who is this? Like, that's how I found out about Anna Wise before Kendrick Lamar. So I'm still cooler than you guys. I'm a hipster. I knew about Anna Wise before she worked with Kendrick. And I was like, okay. And then when she started working with Kendrick, I was like, oh shit, that's a come up for her. That's dope. That's dope when you can say that about somebody that you follow for a long time, and then they get that bump, you know, they get that step up to the big leagues and whatnot. So Kelly Lee Owens, if you're into the electronic music and stuff like that, it's really dope. And, you know, I think about that. I think about this other guy named Sohn, S-S-O-H-N, who is kind of in the same vein. I believe he's from the UK, and he sings a lot more. But like, because the first record on the new on the Kelly Lee Owens is like, oh, I thought she was gonna sing. Then the next record she sings, and you know, so she's definitely creating soundscapes and a vibe and all that. But I did go see Sohn live, and I think I saw him. I want to say I saw him at the Bowery. So I think I did. I think I saw him at the Bowery Ballroom. But he's good. And he's Nicolay. Like, I saw Nicolay live. He has a band. He had a band, the Hot at Nights, with him, which is a band out of North Carolina. And I love like Nicolay's records. Like, when Nicolay was on the show, you know, I told him, I was like, you create this music that I didn't know that I liked. And I definitely you're definitely, again, like when these guys create these vibes, man. So it's like, that's the only way I know how to say it. That's what the cool kids say. So I think that's what they're saying that now, right? Okay. Let's close it out with some movies. Okay. I saw this movie called Boy State. It's on Apple TV Plus. And I basically got Apple TV Plus. I thought that I was going to have a trial, but I think because I had like a 7-day trial last year or something, they just off the rip charged my PayPal $5. And sidebar, have any of you guys tried the new fries from KFC? What are they, good? A guy that they used to go to high school with on Facebook was like, yeah, I went to go to KFC and they changed the fries, man. Oh man, he was pissed off about that, but he didn't say if the new ones were good or not. I haven't been to KFC in over a year. KFC's not bad. It's just not Popeyes when you think about a chain chicken spot. So Boy State, and I was like, I gotta see it. And I was talking to Jeff about this, and you know, I saw the trailer a few months back, and I was just like, I want to see this. I really want to see this. And it's like Apple TV Plus. And I was like, fuck. So like, I don't know when I'm going to see it. Then I was listening to David Chen's podcast, Culturally Relevant. He had the director on. And I was like, I got to see this. So I bit the bullet. At least I'm doing a month of Apple TV Plus. If you all know of any show to watch on Apple TV Plus, please let me know and I'll get into it. I'll watch it if you have it. Okay. So I want to. So I'll read you the blurb about it. Texas teens learn about the American democracy by organizing political parties and running a mock government. This film was directed by Jesse Moss and Amanda McBain, their husband and wife team. Jesse Moss will get into another one of his films after this. This is one of the best movies I've seen this year. Let alone documentary. I did tweet about this a couple days ago, and I was reticent to say best, one of the best films, but it is. The more I think about it, it's one of the best films of the year that I've seen. And basically, we have the American Legion is a organization. What is I want to American? I should have. Let's see what this really. I want to get all this. The American Legion. This is the wiki. The American Legion, commonly known as the Legion, is a nonprofit organization of U.S. war veterans headquartered in Indianapolis, Indiana. It's made up of state, U.S. territory, and overseas departments. And these are in turn made up of local posts. So it's like a veterans association. And I've done a couple comedy shows at veteran or at American Legions. Really fun time in Saugerties, New York, like 90 minutes away from where I live. If you've been listening to this show long enough, there's probably like back in 2013, I did a show and it's probably one of the best shows that I'd done in a place like that. Some of the best stand-up shows that I've done have been in these like halls, like these American Legion. Some were not good. Some were kind of like, we got to get the fuck out of here. And that sadly was in my home state of Maryland, right outside of Baltimore. But the Saugerties New York gig was fucking fantastic. And it's like, you know, they'll have these veterans and they have a bar and they have food and stuff. And people are like excited about a comedy show. It's usually in a small town and you get to do your material and you rock out. And they were mostly white. They were mostly all white. I had a good time. Did not coon for them. I just did the act that I would have done at Caroline's or Gotham or anywhere in the city. I did my act. And it was fun. It's so much fun. So anyway, they do this thing called Boys State where they have kids that are, I guess, like 16 high school kids. They go to the state legislature during the off period and they have two factions, the Nationalists and Federalists. They come up with their policies. They do elections and then they run for governor. And the governor is like the highest position to have at Boy State. And they also do a Girl State. And the critics of this were just saying, you know, not of the film, but just in general, like they also have Girl State that's separate. And they're thinking about integrating them. But for now, we have this documentary called Boy State, and they participate in this. And this took place at the Boy State in Texas. And former members of Boy State have been people like Bill Clinton and Cory Booker. And Craig Melvin on I think he's on NBC. Craig Melvin is what? What is he? Craig I didn't know I was going to talk about all this, but at this aspect of it, I would have had it up. Craig Melvin is with NBC, the Today Show. Yeah. A lot of other politicians. And so they do this, and it's very interesting. And the way that they do it, it's very compelling. And they follow four boys who are from relatively maybe different walks of life, but I don't want to spoil anything. I will just say that it's very good. And I thought I was going to cry at one point, but I didn't. It could have been 2 points, where one of the subjects, in a particular moment, I was like, oh, well, okay. And it's almost felt like, you know, it could almost be like, oh, is this shit scripted? But it's like, nah, it's not scripted. And it's very, it's done in stylistically cinema verite, which is, I'll read you the definition, the style of filmmaking characterized by realistic, typically documentary motion pictures that avoid artificiality and artistic effect are generally made with simple equipment. So basically there's no script. It's just like a camera, you know, the normal things that you would use to shoot a film or whatnot, but it's very, you know, low tech in some regards. Excuse me, Jeff Cerulli could probably talk more about this. I really want him to see this. He's been kind of reticent to see. He's like, ah, fuck it. He's like, some of these kids are dicks. And I was like, and I texted him while I was like 10, I'm like 15 minutes in. Yeah, some of these kids are dicks. Like, they're assholes. Like, there's one character I was like, this dude's a dick. And then I was like, am I an asshole for saying that? That this, like, 16, 17-year-old kid's a dick? And then towards the end of the movie, he's a dick. He's an asshole. And it's very surprising. And it's the turn that this film makes, it was just, like, totally unexpected. I was not expecting in the world of what was going on to see what I saw. And it's actually really... It low key gives me hope. And there's one character that was like, I thought X before I went to Boys State, and now I think Y. And because of what happened to me at Boys State, I'm going to go in this opposite direction to try to counter what happened to me because of my experience in Boys State. And it was really like, it's definitely one of those movies where I watched interviews that these boys were in after, who are now young men in college, because it took place in 2018. It was filmed in 2018, and it's really interesting. And it's a lot of the hope that I had for, you know, what young people are doing by marching and everything like that. Some of that's in here. And I just don't want to say too much because I really want people to see this movie, and I don't want to spoil it because it's definitely an experience. It's really good, and I think it's worth you dropping $5 for at least a month for Apple TV Plus, because when you rent these movies, it's like $6, $7, $8 to rent a movie. And then you say, I watch Boys State and I can watch another series. You could watch The Morning Show, you know, which is great. That's the only other thing I've seen on Apple Plus that's really good. You know, when you talk about prestige TV and stuff like that. But, yeah, I really loved this movie. Yeah, it's fantastic. It's, man, when I think about the movies I've seen this year, that's the best that I've seen. It really is. Yeah. Okay. So, Boy State, I highly recommend. I love this movie so much that I rented this film that was also directed by, Jesse Moss, also directed by Jesse Moss, called The Overnighters. And The Overnighters, I'll read you the blurb. A pastor sparks a controversy in his North Dakota town by opening his church doors to homeless workers who are seeking jobs in nearby oil fields. This was a 2014 film that happened during the oil boom in places like North Dakota. I think Williston is a town. This big oil boom, guys coming from all over the country to get work, and some were successful, some were not. Some guys were living in like RVs and trying to make it. Some didn't have a place to live, so they would park their cars in the church's parking lot and sleep there. Some were sleeping inside of the church, and this is follows a Lutheran pastor named Jay Rinke, who was basically the shepherd of these guys. And these guys, you know, are from all walks of life. And a lot of the people in the town did not like the fact that he was doing this. And it's basically another film that the way that he's cine verite, and it's not scripted. It's not this reality TV show shit where they have writers, stuff just unfolds. And the interesting thing about the way that the way that Jesse Moss talks about how this came to be, how he came to film this movie, this doc rather, I don't know how he would ever, he was working for Nat Geo, and they wanted him to go up to North Dakota to film a reality series about guys in the industry, like Deadliest Catch, but where it's oil, you know, where the oil boom and whatnot. He ended up stumbling upon Pastor Rinke and these men in the church. And he started filming that for a few weeks or a month or so, and he turned it into Nat Geo, and they're like, "This is too like soulful. This is not what we want." So they turned it down, and he was like, "Well, I want to stay up here and I want to work on this." And his wife, you know, him and his wife talked about it. Said, "Let's make it." She held him down. She's like, "Let's make this happen. Let's see how we can do this." And you end up getting this film, which is it's really good. There's a major swerve at the end that caused you to kind of question it. Not everything, but question certain people's motives. And I was like, "Oh shit. Wow. Okay. Damn." And this film was shortlisted for an Oscar, Oscars that year, but it didn't win anything, but I think it was just a film that was critically acclaimed. It is very good. But I think I liked Boys State better. I did like Boys State better. But Boys State was so compelling that a day later I watched the Overnighters, and it was good. It was very interesting, very compelling, nice, interesting swerve at the end. And I was like, "Oh shit. Okay. I didn't see that coming." Parts of the ending, I said, "Oh, okay. This could be bad." And, there's certain things that I predicted or was not surprised about, but it's worth it for a swerve. You can rent it. So I really enjoyed that. I'm going to close it out with another film that I was pretty excited to see. This film called Lost Girls and Love Hotel, starring Alexandra Daddario. And I thought she was fantastic. Let me read this blurb. Haunted by her past, an American English teacher begins a tumultuous affair with a Yakuza gangster in Tokyo. So this is Alexandra Daddario stars as an expat living in Tokyo. She's like this depressed girl. She's an alcoholic. Like the blurb says, she's haunted by her past that you learn about a quarter of the way through the film. And she's just an alcoholic. She drinks and she hooks up with dudes in these hotels. They call them love hotels because they're, I think some of them have 3-hour time limits. So you go in there and you hook up and you go on with your day or your life or what have you. And she picks up these guys, she hooks up with them, and that's her life. And she goes, she teaches women how to be airline stewardesses, airline flight attendants. That's it. Whew, don't cancel me. She teaches these Japanese women how to be flight attendants, how to, you know, teach them to pronounce English. And then she meets this dude who's a Yakuza gangster. And then things kind of spiral after that. I really loved. So this is based on a novel with the same name. The novel by Catherine Hanneron, and it's directed by William Oleson, who his own big claim to fame maybe is an art house movie called Swiss Army Man. He produced it. And oh my God, I'm sorry. Itis, stop I gotta fight the itis. It's with Daniel Radcliffe and who's the other star? You know, when you try to look, Paul Dano. Yeah. Mary Elizabeth Winstead's in it. Oh, Shane Carruth was in it. Oh shit. All right. Which is an interesting, weird movie. And he's from Sweden. And so, you know, I really liked the vibe. I really liked the production value, the darkness of it, the seediness of it. People can be dismissive of trying to call it like 50 Shades of Grey, but it's a lot darker than that. And it's not as, I don't think it's as campy. This is more of a character study. I'm gonna be presumptuous or do I even want to say that? Am I even using that word right? Let me just see if I'm using it right first. Presumptuous. No, I don't want to use that word. I'm just going to make a generalization, a hasty generalization, and say, so it's currently 43% on Rotten Tomatoes. I disagree. That's a failing grade. I would say I gave it 3.5 stars on Letterboxd because Alexandra Daddario like literally puts herself out there. And she can act. Like I said this a couple weeks ago, like she's very pretty. She's hot. I found out about her because of that scene on True Detective. Even before she took her, she put them things out. I was like, okay. I was like, first of all, you know, you see her and she's attractive. She's hot. And she did what she did in that scene in True Detective. I was like, I am checking for her. The stuff that I seen her in after that, I was like, okay, all right, okay. I'm seeing her in this stuff. She can do like that movie. Can you keep a secret? I'm like, she can do comedy. She can actually act. She's not like a pretty face with no talent. So in this movie, I feel like she's trying to go for something darker, and her performance is terrific. I think the script lets her down, and I did not care for the ending. I didn't like the ending, and I don't want to. I'm not going to spoil the ending for you. I just don't like the fact that I feel like characters have to be punished, especially if it's all, especially if something plays like a character study. I don't feel like the character should be punished for doing what they want to do. Like, life will punish you, I guess, when you behave in a certain way. But I just felt like it was too, I don't know. I just felt like the script judged this person, and I did not like that. But I did like the climax. Okay, I think the climax of the movie, I would say, I did not like. I didn't care for that. The actual ending was very sweet. So it had definitely this sexual, this very sexy, erotic side to it. But then there's also, there was also this sweetness established. There was also choices that her character makes, that Alexandra Daddario, Daddario's character makes, that are like, oh fuck, why did you do that? And it had, and it's like, oh my God, why would you, come on. Like, where you're rooting for her, where you see some things that can actually help her, that were like, ah, fuck, man. Why'd you do that? But then it's all, it's like, I don't know. I really did. There's a lot of it. I like things about this movie more than I didn't like things. It's almost like how Pink Wall was like this, how I mentioned that earlier, how I was like, oh, this is really cool. Character study, I liked the cinematography. I liked like how shots were set up. I'm liking this stuff. I'm liking the acting, but it's like, excuse me. I don't know if I like the character so much, but you know, the decisions that they make, but you know, it, I don't know. I like this movie, you know, and she's a character that I was rooting for. And I don't know, like 50 Shades of Grey, I think they're just being dismissive of it. And one of the reasons why I will say that, I think they, the reviews are bad. I'm looking at who wrote the reviews, and it seems like these white dudes did not like this white woman hooking up with these Asian cats. See, like, they're, my neighbors are arguing right now. I don't know what they're arguing. It's so fucking, I don't know, but whatever. Lost Girls and Love Hotels, I bought it because I was just like, okay, I'm gonna buy this movie. I'm gonna give it a shot. It was like 13, 14 bucks, so whatever it was. And I was like, I'm gonna give it a shot. But it's not something that you, I don't think it's not, there's no rush to go see this. I think when it streams, it's gonna surprise a lot of people. When it ends, if it ends up on Hulu or Netflix, I think people are really going to like that performance. I would say it's one of my favorite performances of the year. It's up there with, I would say, it's up there with Ben Affleck's, and I think in The Way Back, I liked Bill Burr in Staten Island. I liked, who else did I like? I'm trying to think, man. Some good performances that out there. I gotta give you, I'm not even gonna think about that. That's just like until I really kind of sit down and think about that, who I liked and when all this stuff comes out, because it's still pretty early. Like, there's some movies that I haven't seen yet that are coming out, because it's the fall now and we're gonna get this Oscar rush coming out. Delroy Lindo in The Five Bloods, obviously, you know, that's a couple that I really enjoyed this year. But yeah, but I do recommend this, but it's not something that you have to rush out and see. If you're a fan of Alexandra Daddario, like, I think you'll rock with it, and you'll give it a shot. And it's one of those movies where it's just like, damn, that was a really good performance. And this is somebody that's trying not to rest on her looks. But I mean, part of it's because she looks how she looks. But even in, you know, you can't really tone down somebody being hot in a fucking movie unless you kind of do the Charlize Theron monster thing. But, you know, but it's somebody that's like trying to take risks, and she damn sure she took some in this. And it was like scenes that weren't even like the sexy, you know, erotic scenes. And it was really not even gratuitous, I don't think. It wasn't even really that gratuitous. Except the last scene was kind of crazy. You know, and then at the same time, what I did like about it, I have not read the novel, but I like the fact that the novelist, she wrote the script. And that's, you know, so she adapted her own novel. So it's kind of like, I don't know, I didn't want to feel like a character was being punished for reasons that I don't want to get into until maybe Jeff's back on the show and then we happen to talk about it, or somebody that I talk to that's seen the movie. Because I kind of want you to have your own opinions about it. And I know I spoil shit sometimes, and when we review stuff, but I try not to, because I want you to see it and form your own opinion, and then say, Chris, I disagree, or I agree, or whatever. So it's definitely worth checking out. And that's enough of me blabbing this week. I've had a good time talking to you. I hope you've had a good time as well listening to me blab about stuff. And I think that's it. And I think I'll hopefully see you next week. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Talk to you next time.